But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. I speak to you this day in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Today in our Gospel reading for the fourth Sunday of Lent, we hear one of the most famous parables of Jesus. One could argue one of the most famous parts of Scripture. We hear the parable of the prodigal son. The parable of the prodigal son has been throughout history and still is today the most referenced part of Scripture in pop culture. It is referenced in everything from Shakespeare to popular Hollywood movies and TV shows. The underlying theme, of course, that is used in pop culture is something that has been lost, has been found, or many times, often the protagonist of a film or story has a troubled relationship with someone or a family, but eventually returns to them as a prodigal son. One small example of this is superhero movies, especially the Iron Man franchise. Iron Man Tony inherits his father's wealth and squanders it only to wander down the long road of redemption and eventually find it. Think of how many books or movies or songs that you can think of with this plotline. The prodigal son is everywhere. Although the image or story of the prodigal son has been used everywhere throughout history, there is one thing that binds all of this literature, music, and movies together, and that is the plotline. The protagonist is always the son who asks for his inheritance and finds redemption. There are almost always the protagonist in the story, and very rarely not. Though pop culture sees it this way, we must ask ourselves the question, who is it that we as Christians are to identify with in this story? Or is the famous parable in the Gospel of Luke calling us to something else, calling us to something more? Let's turn now to our Gospel to see what is really going on. In the parable of the prodigal son, we have three main characters: the father, the son who squanders his inheritance and finds redemption, and the older brother, whom we often forget about. To really understand what Jesus is trying to convey to us in this parable, we must look at all three of these main players. Before we dive in, let's remember who Jesus is talking to. This is important. Our Lord is telling this parable to two groups of people who have gathered together: tax collectors and sinners on the one hand, and on the other, scribes and Pharisees, who do not like the fact that Jesus is talking to and spending time with tax collectors and sinners. Jesus says that there is a father who has two sons, and the younger son says to the father, "Give me my inheritance," something at the time that would have been very hurtful and downright insulting to the father. But the father gives in, and he gives the son the inheritance, and a few days later the boy is gone to a foreign country and wastes all of his money in destitute living, as the text puts it. The son squanders so much that he is forced to take a job feeding pigs. This would have been a total disgrace for him and his family because of their beliefs as Jewish people. The son finally realizes that he needs to confess his sin and return to the father in hopes that his father will take him back, not as a son, but as a hired hand. So the son, full of shame and remorse, returns to the father, and something completely unexpected happens. The father sees him coming, and rather than being angry at his son, he runs out to meet him and embraces him in love and affection. And not only does he embrace the son, he pulls out all the stops to celebrate the son's return to him. He puts the good robe on him, he kills the fatted calf, and invites everyone to a large party. For he says, "This son of mine who was dead is now alive. He was lost, but he is now found." Many of us just end the parable there, especially in pop culture. But this brings us to the part of the story where the older brother comes in. He is coming home from working in the field, and he hears this celebration going on, and he is rightly perplexed about what is happening. The older brother finds out that the younger brother has come home, and the father is having a large celebration for him, and he is mad because he has been faithful to the father, and no party has ever been thrown for him. The father says to him, "Son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours, but we must celebrate your brother who has returned to us." The most interesting and perhaps telling part of this whole parable is that we don't know how the brother responds. Jesus simply ends there. So we have these three figures in our reading for today, the father and his two sons. The father in this story, of course, represents God the Father, or Jesus Christ, a loving father who forgives all and is full of love, grace, and mercy. The younger son, who falls into destitute living, of course, represents all of humanity. As we talked about in our sermon last week, we all wander away from God and make mistakes. But like the father in this parable of the prodigal son, our Lord is always there to receive us back into his loving, grace-filled arms when we return to him. In the immediate context of the parable, this younger brother also represents the tax collectors and sinners who have gathered to hear Jesus speak. On another note about the younger son, he does not feel that he is worthy to reclaim the title of son, but his father, out of his love and mercy, shows him that he is worthy with the celebration. This text shows us that we are all worthy, regardless of what we have done or not done in this life, in the eyes of God. But again, this brings us to the older brother, who is upset that the father has acted in this way. And the older brother in this story represents both the scribes and the Pharisees who Jesus is talking to, but he also represents us, the church. There is a reason why our Lord ends the parable the way that he does. Why don't we know the older brother's response? Because we are the older brother, and we have a choice to make, just as the scribes and Pharisees did at the time of Jesus. Again, it is very important to remember who Jesus is talking to: tax collectors and sinners, and scribes and Pharisees. Jesus is saying to the scribes and the Pharisees, you are the older brother. Are you going to embrace these people returning to me, returning to God, or are you going to go away grumbling? And we too, as the church, as his followers, have a choice to make. Are we going to embrace those who return to Jesus? Are we going to love them with the love of Christ? Or are we going to be angry like the older brother? In sum, we as followers of Jesus are not the younger brother, as we often identify with in the story. We are the older brother, and like him, we are called to make a choice. And that is why Jesus ends the parable the way that he does. What will the choice be that we make? St. Ambrose, the ancient father of the church, puts it this way. He says, let us not envy those who return from a distant country, seeing that we ourselves also were far off. This day in the church is the fourth Sunday of Lent, and all our readings the last few weeks have been calling us to repent of our sinful ways and to return to Jesus. Today, with this parable of the prodigal son, we are given a glimpse of what God's response is to our repentance. And of course, that response is grace, mercy, and love. In our story, the father runs out to meet the son, and we get the sense in the text that the father has been waiting for a very long time for his son to return, that he has been watching for him. That is what God the Father has been doing for all of humanity ever since the first sin of Adam and Eve. He has been waiting for us to return to him, and he runs to us and embraces us in the person of Jesus Christ. And in just a few short weeks, he will embrace all of humanity with his open and loving arms, nailed upon the cross. Then we too will have a celebration, as our Lord rises triumphant from the dead, for as our text says today, we will celebrate, we must celebrate, because for what was dead will come to life. Amen.